Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Friday, April 29th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Hey, great day in gold today. You can call it what you want, whether it's a breakout or it's just a... Just a delayed gain in gold prices. We're up there close to that $1,300 level, $1,292.80 for gold, up $25.40. So a nice day in gold today. Silver up 0.29 at $1,792. Platinum is up 25 at $1,081. Palladium up 5 at $631. And, of course, we'll talk a little bit more about gold and the pricing thereof after we get through the market report. You had the USDX today down 0.70 at 93.06. A little pressure on crude oil, 0.09 at 45.94. And the paper markets today, they were down, but you know, not by much. They were kind of all over the page today. The Dow, 54 points. 17,775. The NASDAQ down 30 points at 47.75. And the S&P is down 10 at 2,065. 10-year yield, 1.82%. Euro, of course, with the drop in our index, dollar index, euro was stronger, 114, up 0.85. And European markets, of course, were down across the board. So great day in gold today. And, you know, pick a reason. And they're all there fitting right into where there should be. I think there's a lot of things that are going on now. And we've seen this dollar is at the lowest it's been in 11 months. That's helping to support raw materials that are priced in U.S. currency. Crude oil, that has jumped big since the end of March. And we have gold and silver at 15-month high. So, you know, there's a lot of great things going on, a lot of major reports coming out next week. But I think I was off a couple of weeks of 1,300, but hey, that's better than most out there, Al, for my prediction on gold.
It's surprising because it was only yesterday when we were basically breaking through the 1,250 level. And today we very nearly hit the 1,300 level, all right? That's pretty surprising to me. On January 1st this year, price of gold was $1,060.
Yep.
Today it's close to it's come close to $1,300 after smashing through again 1250 price resistance
price
level 22%. Yesterday. Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I was wondering if the powers that be would allow gold's breakthrough through the 1250 barrier to stand. I wondered if gold would be smacked down today below 1250. But much to my surprise, you know, I would have been delighted if gold was up $2 today. But I just wasn't smacked down. That would be, to me, that would be, you know, a victory. That would be a good thing. And it's up instead, what are we, $25, $26 today? The powers didn't push gold down. Instead, they allowed it to enjoy that rise and, again, nearly touch $1,300.
They're too busy worrying about Donald.
I don't think so.
But I'm just kidding, Al. All right. One thing that we do have going on, we do have Puerto Rico. They're supposed to be defaulting on, I guess, their bill is due on Monday. I don't know if that had any pressure, you know, for gold going up and so forth. There's a lot of stuff coming out of China also. That I find interesting with the way they're handling their commodities and so forth. There's a couple of good reports. I'm going to try to get them into our newsletter this weekend so it comes out on Monday. So there's a lot of things that are going on. And you've got the Brexit, perhaps, coming up in June. And so I think a lot of these things are all weighing on the world finances. And I think the big thing most recently of this week is Japan. And, you know, when he made his announcements.
That they would not lower the interest rate.
Correct.
And the United States at the Federal Reserve at the same time said we would not raise the interest rate.
Correct.
And that result was to cause inflation to jump in this country and cause the price of gold to jump in this country and cause a measure of deflation, an increased measure of deflation for Japan. And the funny thing about this, the strange thing about this, again, this goes to the adverse relationship that exists between the dollar and the other six currencies that comprise the U.S. dollar index. Got the six foreign currencies that sit on one end of this U.S. dollar index teeter-totter and the dollar at the other end. When the dollar goes up, the other six go down. When the dollar goes down, the other six go up. All right? And the idea that both the Federal Reserve and the Bank of Japan would leave their interest rates alone. Japan didn't lower them, which people expected them to do. No one really expected the Fed to raise them, but the fact that they left them steady. They both worked on the same day, and it's hard to imagine it's coincidence. For me, I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking that what we've seen is not just a victory for gold. What we're seeing in the last couple of days impresses me as a concession for the powers that be that seek to hold gold down. It's certainly too early to say for sure, but it looks to me as if the powers are conceding. They may be conceding that they've lost the will and or the capacity to continue suppressing the prices of gold. We've had the Deutsche Bank situation in the last that's blossomed in the last week or 10 days. The message is getting out there. You mess with this stuff and you might wind up going to prison. I think that's inhibiting some of the people saying, oh, I'm not going to push the price of gold down anymore. I don't want to get sent to jail. All right? It's fun when you're making a buck, but it's not fun enough to risk going to prison. I think it's maybe one of the factors that's playing into this. Again, gold's up from 1060 on the 1st of January, 1293 today. At least when I was looking, yeah, it's about 1293 right now. It's up 22% the last 4 months. You know, up until 2011, during the strong part of the gold bull market, if gold went up 20% a year, people were happy and delighted, and that's more or less what it averaged for a number of years. Now we've got 22% in the first third of the year. That's an increase of $58 a month for the first 4 months of this year. Last Friday, gold closed at $1,232. Today is $12.93. That's a $61 increase in just 1 week.
This is the best performance or gold since 1986. And I did just a quick little comparison on $20 gold pieces. And I was always, you know, I think if people remember, I mentioned that the 10-year yields, they just keep dropping, showing that people are actually running into bonds as a safe haven. But we didn't actually see it correspond into the gold pricing to where people were actually going into a safe haven. And I think maybe this is also what we're seeing now. We're now beginning to see that degree of people going to a safe haven, which is gold, more so than silver. But of course, both are going to get the great reaction. So I knew gold would be following the yields on the 10-year sooner or later. It's just easier to move big sums of money into the bonds first. So there you'll usually see your first reaction, and then gold is going to follow. And I think we're seeing a part of that also. People understand that things are going on. We have over 4 million Silver Eagles. We're on a record of sales for Silver Eagles for the year of 2016. You have gold that is being pushed up. The demand is there. The $20 gold pieces, again, this isn't to show you just what they can do in price, but it shows that because the demand is stronger, is pushing the prices. Again, people are coming into the market that had been sitting out for a long time. I just went back 30 days because I just wanted to do some quick numbers. I went back to March 29th, and that time gold was $1,220. Based on today's $1,290, it's up $70. Mint State 61, $20 Liberties, and St. Gaudens, they're up $155. So a bullion move of 70, $20 gold pieces of 155. 62 Saints and Libs with the same thing, 155, 63 Saints were along the same line. So again, they're outperforming gold bullion, but the important part of this analysis is to show you that demand in these coins have picked up dramatically. Remember, we sold out on Mint State 61 $20 Liberties, three weeks ago. Mint State 64, Saint Gaudens, they're up $160 on a $70 move in gold in the same time frame. And 65 Saints are up $250 in the same time frame. So again, it shows you what they can do against bullion, and it also shows you that demand is strong in $20 gold pieces and the gold market in general.
You know, again, it may still be too early to say for sure, but it certainly looks as if the price of gold has hit a turning point that augurs well for rising prices for the balance of 2016. The evidence, not just the opinion and speculation, but the evidence, price evidence, for 4 months is mounting that the gold bull is up and running. The evidence, not just the opinion and speculation, the evidence is mounting that now's the time to jump on that gold bull market. We don't yet have proof, but we have evidence, growing masses of evidence, that the gold bull is not simply up and running, but may even be up and flying. This is exciting, all right? This may be the moment we've been waiting for since 2011. And now we're going to see. We just had someone we read about yesterday who was predicting some major, reasonably significant banking operation, whatever, and one of their chief economists predicted that gold could go as high as $1,350 this year. Well, that was his prediction a few days ago. I wonder what he thinks that prediction is now. We're going to do $1,350 next month. All right? Odds are, not necessarily, I can't give you a prophecy, but I'm telling you, we could do $1,350 last month. Just a few days ago, a major, significant figure in the banking community said, we could do $1,350 before the end of the year. No, we could do $1,350 before the end of May. All right? Not impossible. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's absolutely, this is exciting. Again, this is the first time. And since 2011, when gold peaked at 1920, first time where all of a sudden it looks like things are turning the other way, and sit back and say, yay! So, in any case.
Well, we certainly have all the problems in order to promote higher gold prices. Those problems never went away. They only get a little diluted along the way. And, of course, you have other price measures to keep the prices from being where they are. But, you know, all things are relative also to one another. I would, you know, so it'll be interesting to see what occurs. You know, you have a lot of government numbers that are coming out next week. The first week of each new month always brings out, you know, your major reports. You have non-farm payrolls at the end of the week. You have the manufacturing survey that's due out on Monday. ADP reports on Wednesday. But there was another number that came out today, consumer confidence, that fell to a 7-month low in April. As Americans' expectations about economic growth dropped to the lowest point since 2014. They really don't have a clue, do they, Al? No. But anyway, the University of Michigan, the final index of the sentiment declined to 89 from 91 in March. So, again, it shows consumer confidence. It shows these are all coming. And, you know, you could pinpoint to the elections. A lot of this, you know, is bringing the economy to the forefront. You know, a lot of this is stirring up those feelings and making people feel a little anxious about their jobs and what their future security is going to be. And that it's not, perhaps it's not as rosy as what they have been led to believe.
Well, I think everybody gets that. The question is, but people don't necessarily know what to do about it.
No, I don't think everybody gets that. The general populace out there certainly doesn't get it.
I think they understand it in broad strokes. I think they're worried, they're concerned, but they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do.
Hey, when they don't have $400 for an emergency.
But they're grateful. They're grateful they at least have $300. You know, I mean, that's the way people are to some degree. Again, they understand there's a problem. There's a growing unease. I saw a report today that the suicide rate in this country is hitting historic levels. All right? Now, that's not something that gets much press, but it's another one of these. It's an evidence that there is mounting stress. We're not talking about geniuses and PhDs and people who have PhDs in economics are killing themselves. We're talking about ordinary people. Just feels so trapped that the suicide rate, I don't remember, I think it's 40,000 a year. I don't know what that was, Melody, but...
What was what?
I don't know, something just went...
I didn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm. That's because you made the sound.
I did, Al.
Uh-huh. Well, in any case, there are rising signs of tension all around us. And... You know, we follow the news more so than most people. And you get a sense of the velocity of the news. How fast is the news coming at you? And right now, we are getting reports, multiple reports every day that signal something's not right. And they're coming from a bunch of different directions. A month ago, they weren't coming this rapidly. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, there is an acceleration in the number of news articles and writers and speakers and thinkers and whatever who are arguing, look, the thing is sitting at the edge and getting ready to implode. You know, and you can listen to a certain amount of that from one or two people and say, well, yeah, they're just exaggerating. But when you start getting it from multiple sources from around the country and around the world, you have to sit back and say, you know, I think we may see some very serious trouble before we get to this 2016 election. We may see some big trouble in this country that breaks loose before the election. If we don't, I'm not saying we're going to, but I'm saying it absolutely could happen. If we don't, it seems to me that 2017 is going to be a very painful year for a lot of people. Let's take a break for a couple commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Attisker with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And as we were talking about, as we were talking in the first segment of the program, you know, it really looks like maybe the gold bull market has really taken traction, is gaining momentum, and we're going to see where this winds up. But there is a good chance that we're approaching months when people are going to look back and say, you know, I thought about buying that gold back there in April, and I didn't do it, and boy, I could really kick myself. We're hitting that moment. You know, now's the time to jump on, or, you know, virtually, it seems highly probable that now is the time to jump on, grab the gold. If you don't have it already, get some. And get ready for what will probably be a very enjoyable ride, at least for those people who have gold. We're headed for some serious problems, but those who have gold, you might do fine.
And along the way, you're going to hear all kinds of reports and predictions. You're going to hear all sorts of, you don't want to buy now, gold's too expensive, silver's too expensive, all kinds of things you're going to hear. And that's why, again, the boring route is fundamentals. You know, gold could be selling for $2,500 or $3,000, and that's still going to be viewed as a very inexpensive price. So you really do have to take things as you go along. What else? What are you doing with your funds? How your funds are working? You have to look at the overall picture when you're looking to position your funds and planning of purchasing your gold and silver acquisitions. So, you know. It's so important. So I don't think the challenges that we face, I don't think we can have a too high of gold price if you don't have any gold in your portfolio or any silver in your portfolio. So, but there's just going to be a lot of strange things that are going to be talked about, promoted, and just stick with the fundamentals. Stick with logic, stick with what makes sense, and is it suitable for you? And again, we're here to, you know, answer your questions. So make sure you can, you know, you can use our email address, questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com.
We got a caller on the phone, Jerry from Indiana. Hello, Jerry. How are you doing?
Oh, Al, Melody.
Hey, Jerry.
Just wanted to spout out a little bit that I am a discount gold and silver customer, and I've always been treated fairly. And anybody looking to buy gold, I hope you call Melody.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry.
The other thing I was going to bring up today, I don't know what all this means, Melody, but my wife and I went to town and voted today, absentee. I prefer the absentee so I can have a paper ballot to look at. And the thought there was a lot of people, and I asked the people at the courthouse, I said, isn't this a little bit unusual? And she says, oh, my gosh, we're going to have to get staffing in here to help us. So just wanted to pass that on. You know, I don't know if it's the Trump phenomenon bringing people out to vote, but unbelievable for a small town where I, our county seat is. Unbelievable.
Well, I appreciate the information, Jerry, and it's
good
another
job.
One of those leaves in the breeze.
Yep.
By itself, it might not mean much, and yet it's one of those little anecdotes that tells us we, you know, big things are afoot. This is going to be the most extraordinary election most of us have perhaps ever seen. I doubt that we can point to another one. You'd have to go back to, I think it was 64, where we had the riots in Chicago. I don't remember. It was in the 60s in any case. Yeah, you might, 64, 68, I don't remember clearly. 68? You might, you know.
Probably.
But you're going to go back a long time to find an election that is as bizarre as this one and as significant. This is a big turning point. Trump is not just another candidate. Trump is a challenge to the whole establishment. That's the significance. I don't care
Absolutely.
Whether it, in and of itself, whether Trump wins or loses is not exactly the issue. We've seen the whole country stand up on its hind legs and say, we are sick of all you self-serving SOBs in Congress, in the Senate, and the White House. You can do what's right for us for a change rather than what's right for special interests. This is a revolutionary year. So we'll see how it works out. But what you're telling us about your small community, it's supporting that contention. This is a revolutionary year. And the energy was here. People were fed up. Trump didn't make people be angry at the government. People have been angry.
Yeah.
And it's been growing for a long period, for a considerable number of years, but no one has stood up and said, I'm with you people. They had to listen to all the rest of the politicians that tried to explain why things were great and vote for me and they'll be even better. Somebody's trying to tell us the truth, and we are flat out shocked and amazed, and it's Trump. Yeah. So, extraordinary year, Jerry.
Well, you know, the gals we dealt with today, they were in their 70s, Al, and I'm, you know, and I'm close to it. I mean, nothing wrong with that, but they said they have never, ever witnessed anything like this. And, you know, and like I said, I'm looking at a county. I think there's 16,000 people in our county, and unbelievable. Maybe Trump's not the real issue. Maybe he is, but he's certainly lit a fire for people to get out and vote, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is amazing what's going on. And I've been into alternative media now I go back to Tom Valentine, to Chuck Carter, to different people, almost 40 years now, Al and Melody, and I have been chomping at the bit for this to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the criminals in Washington, D.C. have, I tell all of them here in Indiana, you have literally squandered your time in office. You don't talk about real issues. You know, you're all playing into this new world order. And I believe Trump is driving a stake right down the heart of the new world order.
He's showing us it can be done. Trump is showing us what can be done. He's showing us that we're not alone. We're not crazy. We are not a tiny minority. Trump has validated a movement that's been, I don't know, festering for a decade or 20 years in this country. But it has never really gained traction until maybe this year. This is extraordinary times.
I tell you what, Alan Melody, I've been waiting for this for a long time. And, there for a while, I was just all gloom and doom, and I wrote the country off. But I'm telling you, somebody like Trump, if he gets the people behind him and he cleans Washington out, maybe some of the plans he's got, Al, going after this, and the most ridiculous thing is free trade. Why are we giving our country away?
Yeah, because people want it destroyed. We're giving it away because our leaders are engaged in systematic destruction of the United States of America. It's not an accident, not a misunderstanding. They want it destroyed. That's what's happening. They are engaged in treason. They look you in the eye. They smile. They appear to be sincere. They leave most of us a little confused and wondering what's going on. But the facts indicate, look, these guys are trying to sell us out.
Absolutely. And, they can bring, they got Mike Pence today saying that he's the governor here, saying that he's going to support Cruz. Really? Hmm. You know, and this governor we've got needs to go. He's squandered his time in office, I'm telling you. And going to support, Ted Cruz. Unbelievable. But I guess that's his, that's his God-given right. But I can tell you this right now. If Ted Cruz is elected president, we are going back to the same road, the same path that we've been on, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree. I think he and George W. Bush and Barack Obama are all serving the same master, and it is not the general welfare of the people of the United States of America. They're not here to do us any good. So,
I agree.
And Trump might. I don't mean that Trump is going to succeed. I don't mean that I won't be disappointed in Trump at some point or another. But Trump deserves to win the presidency, if only because he brought a level of honesty to the primaries that was shocking, unexpected, exciting, and unseen for perhaps decades in this country. Shut up and try to tell the truth. I don't mean that he doesn't make mistakes. Don't mean that he doesn't say stupid things. But everybody gets it. That man's trying to tell the truth at least part of the time, and nobody believes the rest of them. Every time you ask him a question, I've said it before, you can see the wheels start spinning, so they make a politically correct answer. They'll say,
absolutely,
we're going to deal with the problem, but we aren't going to offend anybody. Trump is saying, we're going to deal with the problem. We're going to offend a lot of people.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited, and just by the honesty he's brought to the primaries, and for that reason alone, to my mind, Trump deserves to win.
Oh, I agree with you, Al. And one other thing before I get off of here, you know, even if he can't do everything that he wants to do, I'm hoping people get behind him, of like-minded people get behind him, and it's just out a steamroller to the new world order, to this crooked and phony government. that has been bought and paid for years by lobbyists.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping he steamrolls and gets people, gets a momentum of people like-minded like Trump that actually want to help the country instead of the corporation. We're a matrix of just corporation by the corporation.
Yeah,
it's fascism to me.
Yeah.
It's the definition of fascism.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, when you replace we the people with the corporation and the corporate structure, we the people get pushed to one side, Al, and it's been like that for 30 years. I mean, it's unbelievable. So I'm going to get off of here, but I do appreciate your program, and I do appreciate your comments, Al and Melody, and I listen daily.
Thank you, Jerry.
We appreciate your calls, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again. You know, we were just, Jerry has brought up the matter of Ted Cruz. Here's an article from the AFP, which is the French press organization, and the headline is, former U.S. House Speaker Cruz is Lucifer in the flesh. I mean, talk about an extraordinary election cycle. Former House Speaker John Boehner laid into fellow Republican and 2016 presidential hopeful Ted Cruz, labeling him the devil incarnate, right? Lucifer in the flesh is how the ever-blunt Republican heavyweight who stepped down as Speaker last year described a Texas senator, according to the Stanford Daily newspaper. Lucifer in the flesh. I have Democrat friends and I have Republican friends, Boehner said. I get along with almost everyone, but I have never worked with a more miserable SOB in my life. And he's referring to Cruz. In an audio recorded recording of the stunning remarks played on a loop on U.S. television Thursday, Boehner's heard to add about Cruz, over my dead body will he be president. Well, it seems that apparently Boehner is not part of the establishment that's trying to get rid of Trump. He's saying, over my dead body will Cruz be president. Asked for his reaction on Thursday while campaigning in Indiana, Cruz sniffed that Boehner allowed his inner Trump to get out. Well, this is an election where maybe all of us are going to let our inner Trump get out. This is a little bit like, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie, Network, I think was the name of it, back maybe in the 60s, no later than the 70s, where they had Howard Beale, the prophet, the mad prophet of the airways. And he said, people, I want you to go to your windows and stick your head out the window and holler, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Well, something like that. We, you know, that movie came out and it was interesting. It was fun. It was inspiring to some degree, but it's 40 years ago, maybe more. All right. But here we maybe are finally seeing the moment. In his own way, Trump is coming across as the mad prophet of the airways, you know, that we saw in the movie Network back 40 years ago. Some of you may remember it. Many of you may not have. Maybe it's, you know, a lot of people might not have seen it, but it was a powerful film. It was certainly it was important at its time, and it may still be important in some regards, but somebody is yelling out the window, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, and the rest of us are encouraged that we can do the same, and we are sending a message. I mean, the whole establishment must be reeling right now. They may try to control things. They may succeed in controlling things before this is over, but they know they're in a run for their money. They know they're in for a run of the, for a contest of their lives. We're going to take a break for a couple more commercials, and Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I guess we're on the air now.
I guess so.
Where are we, Melody? Some confusion during the break, and I get confused easily. Being a senior citizen, as you know, I have a problem with habitual confusion, especially in this world. Here's one. Here's an article from Zero Hedge. And business subsidies plummet 70% as government support evaporates. That's the headline. Now, the point to all of this is government is cutting costs, right? Yesterday, we talked about a report that starting on May 1st, government will trim $11 trillion off potential Social Security payments. They were special programs. It didn't affect everyone, but just the same. Over time, the government was cutting $11 trillion in costs, right? And when, I don't mean $11 trillion is going to be knocked out on Sunday. Over a period of, who knows, 20 years more, I don't know what the time frame is on it, but over a period of time, they're going to trim Social Security costs by $11 trillion. We warned yesterday that this trimming was only the beginning, that government is broke. It can't raise taxes easily in a recession, and it can't borrow very much money because its credit has been shot. And therefore, it has to cut costs in order to avoid being forced to admit that it's bankrupt. Today, we see another article, and this is the one from Zero Hedge, that verifies yesterday's warning. Today, there's evidence that the government is trimming subsidies to businesses. Yesterday, they're trimming, we report that they're trimming benefits to people in Social Security. Now we see another article that government is trimming subsidies to businesses. These are dots that can be connected, and you can draw a conclusion from this, and the conclusion is the government, it realizes it's broke, and it's got to cut costs. And there's a point to all of this, but here let me read a little of the article. In order to attract and retain small and big businesses alike, it has been a tactic by states and local government to offer tax breaks. However, as times have gotten tough, in Obama's recovery, government subsidies of at least $50 million have plummeted 70%. This is according to Bloomberg. As an example, tax breaks for companies such as Boeing, IBM, and Toyota were part of a $17 billion from state uh, were benefit from the state and local governments in 2013. They were getting a $17 billion tax break in 2013. I'm not sure if I might have said 2017, but I'm guessing. $17 billion tax breaks in 2013. In 2014, that number dropped to $7 billion. And in 2015, it plummeted to just $4.8 billion. $17 billion to less than $5 billion in 3 years. Now, certainly these reductions are evidence that there has not yet been an economic recovery. If there had been an economic recovery, the governments could continue to generously hand out tax breaks to businesses, right? The fact that there hasn't been an economic recovery has caused states and localities to pull in, to rein in their generosity and say, we can't afford to do this. We got to get the money. More precisely, we might explain these subsidy reductions as evidence of tough times. And that's true to some extent, but more precisely, the Social Security reductions we talked about yesterday and the subsidy reductions we're talking about today are evidence that some elements of government are now so broke that they're being forced to cut costs, benefits, entitlements, and subsidies. The lesson here is that those of us who depend on government for financial support may soon be in some financial jeopardy. You got to recognize, look, there's a problem here. If you are relying on the government for your support, you cannot look at the evidence and say, well, it's a sure thing that, you know, we'll be able to retire for all of our golden years, and we can expect Social Security from now until the next 30 years. We'll be getting Social Security. Well, maybe not. Those businesses currently receiving government subsidies may be forced to close their businesses, or maybe they'll pack up and relocate to another country where costs are more tolerable. Business bankruptcies and business relocations to other countries will leave Americans to suffer more as jobs, net taxes, and community investment leaves with the unsubsidized businesses. In fact, you know, you look at the problems that are coming here, and you catch a clue that government finances are so tight. And as they used to say on Johnny Carson, how tight are they? Well, they're so tight that government is not only trimming Social Security and business subsidies, in some cases, even lawmakers are finding it hard to get paid. Here's an article from the Chicago Tribune, and the headline is Comptroller. It says, Illinois lawmakers will have to get in a long line to get paid. Again, this is the Chicago Tribune. Illinois Comptroller Leslie Geisler Munger, a Republican, plans to delay monthly paychecks for lawmakers and statewide officials, saying there isn't enough money to pay the state's bills and that other services should come first. The comptroller's office will still process the paychecks, estimated at $1.3 million a month, but lawmakers won't get the money right away because the payments will be thrown into the state's huge pile of unpaid bills. Munger acknowledged that the idea is to apply pocketbook political pressure to lawmakers to spur a resolution to the 10-month budget fight between Republican Governor Bruce Rauner and Democrats. She argued, that would be the treasurer, she argued that lawmakers' paychecks are taking away money from nonprofits, social service providers, and small businesses who have seen their payments delayed during the impasse. She says, I am hoping this will help everyone to understand what it feels like, really, to be among the group of people who are waiting months for payments. And I comment is, you just wait. Today, some people in Illinois are waiting months to get paid by the government. But I'm going to bet you that soon we're going to see people waiting years to get paid, and not just in Illinois. The government is basically broke in this country. If you're going to rely, and here's the lesson, here's the takeaway on this. If you're going to rely on government for your supports, especially through your retirement, you are assuming a considerable risk. The government may get by. The government may continue to supply Social Security and pension funds and everything else they promised. It might work out that way. But their evidence just keeps on mounting and mounting and mounting that the odds are growing slimmer and slimmer and slimmer that the government's going to be able to pay, make good on all of its purported debts. Again, if you rely on government for support, you are assuming considerable risk. If you're not working, all right, and instead relying on welfare, entitlements, subsidies, tax breaks, now would be a good time to find a job. You're going to have to make a productive contribution if you want to get through what may be some very difficult times coming headed our way. We're not going to be able to survive based on government's fiscal policy and government's ability to distribute money to us or currency to us. Oh, we might be able to survive. And to say we're not going to be able to survive, that's an exaggeration. We may, Brian, we will probably survive. But if you're going to rely on government, you're going to survive in a way that's very similar to what happened to the Russian people and the people of the Soviet Union after it collapsed. They were plunged into an incredible poverty. Increased the probability that they would die. They couldn't get enough food. They couldn't get enough medical care. They just holed up. They lived. They got through. Most of them did. But it was a painful experience. And it was in part because they were communists. They had been taught to believe that the government would provide for everything they wanted. From each according to his ability, and nobody paid much attention to that. Everybody said, to each according to their need. Well, if all I have to do is, if I can get money just by needing it, you know, it's hard to resist the temptation. Boy, I really need the money for a new Tesla automobile, Melody. You think the government will give it to me? People who think that way are impaired. They are mentally ill. They are living in a delusion that will not last much longer. Huh? I'm going to recommend to everybody, if you don't have a job, now's a good time to start looking for one. I don't think you can count. If you're depending on government for your support, you don't have a job, even if you're a retiree, I think it might be a good idea to get out there and find yourself some work. If you're on welfare, get off the welfare, find a job. Yeah, I know. And welfare is financially more attractive than a lot of jobs. I get that. Rationally, you go on welfare. But that rational position is only valid if welfare is going to last for years and years and decades into the future. And it's clearly not. It's going to be cut. It's going to be reduced. And you're either going to see your incomes reduced, or you're going to have a job of your own where you can supplement and make up for whatever it is the government's not paid. But dangerous times, Melody. You were supposed to have a response. Ah, Jim is back.
Well, I don't have a response because I do, but I don't.
Mm-hmm. You did that. You told me something like that during the previous break. You did, but you don't. Jim from West Virginia is back. Let's. Jim, are you there?
Hello, Jim. I am here. When he announced his candidacy, I was like, oh, Lord, rich man, egomaniac, But there are three traits which have tickled me greatly. One, he's very teachable, the waterboarding issue, for instance.
Yeah.
Two, I don't think he can be readily blackmailed. He's lived his life in a fishbowl because of his position as wealth. So I don't think he has too many skeletons in his closet. He's admitted to whatever his behavior is. And three, this is the one which really hit me real hard. That guy had an idyllic life. the golden years, filthy rich, do whatever he dang well pleased. And he sacrificed his position in earthly heaven to come out here and get bloodied. So I have all the admiration in the world for him. Now, I have another point, and this is serious. I do not want people to get lulled into complacency, thinking, oh, he's our secular savior.
Mm-hmm.
No, there will be all these shakeups you were talking about and more. I remember my parents saying, cash is king, cash is king. No, food is king. We don't grow enough food to feed ourselves. We don't make enough shoes. We don't make enough clothing. A fourth of our farmland seems to be in production. The other three fourths is not. Some of the most subsidized businesses are those businesses which have government contracts, whether it's, quote, defense, end quote, or God knows how many others. But if you're in those positions where, as you were saying, Alfred, you're depending on the government, you're not in a good shape. But do not let this candidacy and Trump's presidency lull you into complacency. Nothing can stop the economic crash. Maybe you can slow it down, easier landing, what have you, but for crying out loud, the fundamentals are still there. I think I've said all I need to say. Thank you again.
All right, Jim. Thank you. Appreciate your call and comments. And Jim is right. Trump is not going to save us. All right? If there's going to be any salvation, earthly salvation, it's going to be provided by the people themselves. But Trump may get the government out of the way. We may be able to pull this off on our own if we can get government off our backs. Trump might get the government off our backs. All right? It's going to be up to us to actually work our way out of this problem. And when I say work, I mean make productive effort. Not just show up and demonstrate. I mean actually have some sort of a job. We can work our way back to prosperity if we care to. And if we don't, then shame on us. Right now, it's shame on the government that continually intrudes in our attempts to, you know, rebuild. Get off our backs. We can handle this. We got this if we can get the government off our backs. And Trump looks like a guy who may be able to get the government off our backs. Not entirely. And, you know, they won't disappear. I understand that. They're still going to be there needling us and aggravating us one way or another. But Trump may be able to reduce that aggravation to a minimum, and in that minimum state of aggravation and burden, maybe we can dig ourselves out of this hole. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, Jim from West Virginia, and Jerry from Indiana. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.